Good morning, friends, and thank you for joining us for our April Spiritual Outreach Call. I'm Father David Celery with the American Association, and we're very blessed to have with us this morning the Reverend Dr. Stephen Koop, who's going to speak about the Triduum, a source of grace, a topic that's particularly timely since we're in the midst of Holy Week and on the cusp of entering into this most sacred time of the year. Dr. Koop is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon. His work is centered on the mission of Gillette Children's Specialty Healthcare, which serves children, adolescents, and young adults with musculoskeletal and neurological disorders in a multidisciplinary and longitudinal model of care. Dr. Koop was ordained a deacon in 1992 and is assigned to the Church of St. Rita in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. His responsibilities include those typical of a deacon, sacramental and pastoral work, as well as participation in the wider life of the parish. The archbishops over the diocese have from time to time given him various ad hoc assignments that make use of his very deep and wide medical experience, particularly in the areas of protection of life and biomedical ethics. He's also had various formal assignments, including support for the local chapter of the Catholic Medical Association, chaplain for Curatio, an apostolate for healthcare workers, and he served on the board of St. John's School of Theology and Seminary and has participated in the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre. Dr. Koop also works with his wife during retreats, particularly for married couples, and he served as a deacon deputy chaplain in the Minnesota area since 2018. He's been on the association's pilgrimage to Our Lady of Good Help and is planning to join us this year as we travel to Lourdes. Dr. Koop, thank you for joining us this morning and speaking to us, and I know all of you will join me in welcoming Dr. Koop as our speaker this morning. Dr. Koop.
Thank you very much, Father. That's a very nice introduction. Greetings to everyone listening in from Minnesota, where winter is still very much present. I look outside my window right now. It's 26 degrees, and there are still 2 feet of snow on the ground. So winter is present in Minnesota well into April. I'm grateful to have been asked to make this presentation during Holy Week and to reflect with you for a moment on the graces of the Triduum. Before we start, let's pray together. I'm going to use the first psalm prayer for morning prayer this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, you established your ancient covenant by signs and wonders, but more wondrously, you confirmed the new one through the sacrifice of your Son. Guide your church through the pathways of life, that we may be led to the land of promise and celebrate your name with lasting praise. Amen. I'm going to start with the obvious, and that obvious statement is that this is indeed the most important week in the church year. And I know I can hear you saying, well, of course. I'd like to take the upcoming events of this week and examine them with you. I want to talk for a moment about the overall importance of the week. If you will, the why. The why is it such an important week? I want to delve into the graces that we will receive. You actually know them very well, and you would need only brief reminders about them. But of course, time is limited. And so in addition to briefly exploring each of these graces, I also want to spend some time on a couple of key questions. Our scholars and theologians, like my son, Father Evan, who teaches at St. Paul's Seminary, spend their whole lives digging deeply into each of the graces that are upcoming this week. But we also want to talk a little bit about how are we to receive those graces, and then how are we to respond. In particular, how are we to share the graces of this week that we are about to receive? The importance of Holy Week starts here. The Lord made a promise to all of us long ago, and now he keeps it. that promise was a savior, a messiah, one that would heal the rift that has occurred between God and all of us. This is captured, this promise, in Isaiah in 49, where I will read in part. Thus says the Lord, in a time of prayer, of favor, I answer you. On the day of salvation, I help you. I form you and set you as a covenant for the people, to restore the land, to say to the prisoners, come out, to those in darkness, show yourselves. They shall no longer hunger or thirst, nor shall scorching wind strike them. He guides them to springs of water. The Lord will comfort his people and show mercy to his afflicted. And then the reading reports that Zion said, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten us. When you read this chapter from Isaiah, there's almost a pause in the passage, as if the Lord is gathering himself and looking for words to reassure his people. And he finds a way to let us know exactly how much he cares about each and every one of us. He says, can a mother forget her infant, be without tenderness for the child of her womb? Even if she should forget, I will never forget you. For see, upon the palms of my hands I have engraved you. You are ever before me. And so we are not forgotten. And this week, a promise is kept. The Son of God, Jesus, fully human, fully divine, is born of a woman, Mary, who is both his mother and his creation. Mary's son is also her God. It is a truly singular relationship. This son, Jesus, lived amongst us, accepting rejection and death on the cross to save us. And that's the grace on Good Friday. And then he rose from the dead to give us eternal life, the ultimate grace that comes to us on Easter morning. And so this is the grace of the entire week. We are not forgotten by our Creator. We're ever before him. And we are offered, given, salvation, a gift of life with him forever. We could stop there, but this is a week rich in graces. On Holy Thursday at the Last Supper, we are given the Eucharist and the priesthood and an opportunity for unity as we live out our earthly lives. The Eucharist gives all of us across time access to our Creator and our Savior, and it gives us the food we need to live our earthly lives. As John says in his Gospel, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Jesus set apart the 12 as priests, saying, do this in memory of me. And in doing so, he created ministers for us today, our priests, who make Christ and his sacrifice, his gift of salvation, present to all of us today, now. These are the men who approach us in our everyday lives, knowing us just like Jesus knew the woman at the well, yet loving us and saying to us, the Lord has something better for you. That's an amazing grace. Our priests say to us, as Paul said to the Corinthians, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. And this is the church in full unity at table with our Lord and Savior. When we gather at Mass, when we eat the Lord's body and drink his blood, we become one with him, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and with every other believer in Christ in the church throughout the ages. And this, too, is truly an astonishing union. Food to nourish us on our journey through a life of faith, priests to walk with us and guide us, forgiveness through death on the cross, eternal life through the resurrection. I mentioned two questions that I would love to have you ponder this week. First, how are we to receive these graces? Because we need to remember that all of these graces are pure gift. No matter how hard we might have worked on our relationship with the Lord during Lent, we must receive the graces of the Triduum with humility. You and I have a tendency, sometimes at least, to think like this. If I am good, if I am righteous, if I live my life properly, if I'm holy, then surely I will deserve God's love. I will have earned God's love. Of course, this can lead to a different logic with its inevitable conclusion. If I'm bad, if I have failed, if I have sinned, then perhaps the Lord will not love me. In fact, maybe the Lord will turn away from me, perhaps even become angry with me. If we think like that, we have it all wrong. The Lord fully knows that we fail. And despite that, he still loves us. We are not loved by the Lord this week because we are good and perfect and have earned his love. We are loved by the Lord because he made us, and he wants us to be close to him. We were made to be loved by him, and he thirsts for us to accept that love. Jesus has an infinite desire to save all through his love. And I think the most awful pain of his crucifixion would have been to know that even one person said no and rejected his love. Put simply, God knows us, and yet he loves us and offers himself in his Son to save us. This Holy Week, let us not approach the Lord with pride, claiming a love we think we have earned, nor should we shy away from the Lord out of fear. Instead, let us humbly accept the gift of healing, of salvation, and eternal life. Let us pray all week, come, Lord Jesus, come, I need you. Without you, I'm lost and I'm broken, but in you, I know I am healed and made holy. If we can do that, then like Paul, we will be able to say, the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The second question I would pose is, how are we to live this life of faith? What are we to take away from this week going forward? How are we to share the graces we receive from the Lord? And here I will return to Holy Thursday, where once again, the answer is humility. You will hear this in the gospel. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. In doing this, Jesus shows us the whole of his saving ministry in one symbolic act. He divests himself of splendor. He kneels down before us. He washes and dries our soiled feet in order to make us fit to sit at the table with him for God's wedding feast. He changes the phrase, love one another, to love one another as I have loved you. The point is this, only by letting ourselves be washed and made pure, only by being changed in our hearts, can we learn to act as he did. And now we will have an opportunity to share the graces we have been given. You and I know this. You can look in any direction. You can look at any person, stranger, friend, or family member, and you will see an opportunity to share the mercy of the Lord. There are so many feet to wash. But now, following the Lord's example, you will wash them without ego, without the tendency to say, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. Don't I deserve a pat on the back? No, you will say, as Paul said in Galatians, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. In Christ, the heroism, the egoism of personal deeds gives way to the humility of the disciple and the servant. I think these are the graces of this upcoming week. Thoroughly enjoy the week. Give yourself over to the Lord in humility. Let us close in prayer. And again, I will turn to this morning's concluding prayer from morning prayer. Father, in your plan of salvation, your Son, Jesus Christ, accepted the cross and freed us from the power of the enemy. May we come to share the glory of his resurrection, for he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Koop, for your insights into the grace and strength God gives us in the Triduum and this gift of the Triduum so that we can serve him more faithfully and do his will with humility, compassion, and hope. Thanks to all who joined the call this morning. The recording will be posted on the Association's website in the next several days. Our next call will be Wednesday, May 3rd at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, which, by the way, is also the day our charter flight lands in Lourdes. Our speaker will be Bishop Paul Sanchez, who will speak on compassion fatigue and ministering to our caregivers with a focus on the role of Mary. God bless you.